Well, thank you so much to everyone who's contributed to our annual meeting tonight. The annual meeting provides us an opportunity to reflect as well as to look forward. And I want to do both of those things tonight in this presentation. But as we look back, I'm particularly conscious that over the last year we've lost some valued friends who were a key part of our church just a year ago. Philip Biakobetz, Beverly Jackson, Celia Aldridge, Ivan Paulton, Robert Orwin, Sheila Bruce, and of course most recently Tinny Williams are all no longer with us. All had been committed to this place, and I know that we miss them. And although we feel their loss, they wanted this place to thrive, to see God's kingdom grow. And so it's right that tonight, as we reflect and as we remember them, we also remember the many positive things that have happened over this past year. We've seen new people join, people come to faith in Jesus, and as a result get baptized. We had that big baptism service in September. And next Sunday, are looking forward to having four adults being confirmed. We've had new staff and new initiatives. And many of the things that we were looking forward to that I laid before you just a year ago, we have now seen fulfilled. The chart on the screen shows how the growth, there's been continued growth in our Sunday morning services. Back in 2009, we had an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock service, and we averaged in total about 110 people on a Sunday. 8 years later, having reorganised those services, it's now around 170 on average on a Sunday morning. That's growth of about 55%. And here's a chart that shows what's happened at the 9 o'clock service. The growth has been not quite so dramatic, but at 10:30, you can see significant growth. It peaked. This chart shows that in 2012, the peak was when we had just the 1 10 o'clock service before we split into the 9 and 10:30. And now we are averaging numbers in excess of that over two services. But of course, it's not just about numbers. We've continued to see people growing deeper with God. We've seen lives change. We've seen people healed. We've seen hope restored. This year, we celebrate 150 years of there being a church on this site. 150 years of witnessing to the kingdom of God. 150 years of seeing people come to faith. 150 years of service and commitment to this community. And it's a year for us to celebrate, but also a year for us to lay down some markers for the next generation as we create a legacy for the future. And so what I'd like to do now is to look at the four priority areas that we have as a church and see what has happened over the last year. Our four areas, as you will know, are discipleship, worship and prayer, children and young people, and outreach. So first of all, discipleship. Last year I said that we hoped to have more connect groups. And we now have two in place, one for parents in the daytime and one for those who are doing the Bible Challenge. This time last year, we ran an alpha course for those for whom English is a second language. And that was particularly targeted at the growing number of people who had joined us from China and Hong Kong and who found their understanding at Alpha more difficult, and we wanted to do something that was targeted. And as a result of that, we've seen people baptized and being confirmed. And we ran our usual Alpha in the autumn. This year, in January, we launched our Bible Challenge. There's about 50 people that we know of who've signed up to that, some reading the whole Bible through the year, some reading selected passages to give them a sweep of biblical history. And at least two connect groups are supporting this and encouraging one another in the Bible Challenge. We set up a pastoral care team to help in pastoral support across the church, and especially for those who don't get pastoral support in their Connect groups. And I'm really grateful to the team, to all who've joined that, and especially to Rosemary, who's taken the lead in setting it up and facilitating and arranging further training. And it's good to see, particularly for me, others sharing in this vital work. In terms of worship, it's our second main area. The 9 and the 10:30 have continued to grow and developed their own contemporary styles. We have, as well as these main services on a Sunday evening, we alternate between evening prayer and open to God. In the week, we have reflective morning prayer on 4 days. We have communion, a liturgical communion service on a Wednesday, and a monthly church prayer meeting. We have a real mixed economy of different sorts of worship through the week, and I want to encourage you to be involved in more of those. Last year, we decided to appoint a worship minister, and we were thrilled to appoint Ash and delighted that he joined us. He's been a real blessing to us and has helped take forward our contemporary worship and develop other musicians. So thank you, Ash, for all that you are doing. And it's been particularly good to see how he and James Harvey have worked well together to provide a range of worship styles across both services and at times together. In the last year, we had a slightly different emphasis on outreach, our third priority area. We didn't hold a community fete, but we focused on a number of smaller events. We had a lunch for the Queen's 90th birthday and invited people on the fringes of church and others. We had a church picnic and a holiday club for children, and all of those were successful and brought people from outside and on the fringes of the church into contact with God's work. Last year, I said that we hope to start a midweek afternoon cafe for older people in the community, and Tea Timers was launched after Christmas and has settled into a good pattern of drawing in both church members and those who are outside. And I'm grateful to the team who've made this happen and who faithfully are serving that and baking cakes every week. So if you know people who are at home on a Friday afternoon who would benefit from coming out and being a part of this, do invite them. Last year, this time, I talked about the Grove Missional Community. It was just an idea at the point. It was just after the annual meeting. Mark Tate came and talked to us more about what was going on. And the great news is that the Missional Community is now up and running. The Tate family have moved onto the Gurnell Grove estate. Another family are trying to buy a house there. Another family who live off the estate have joined the community. And they've been a sort of fairly soft launch over these last 6 months. They've been doing a survey asking people who live on the estate what they would like to see happen. They've held some low-key outreach events, such as a pancake party and an Easter egg hunt, and have really begun to engage with the local community. So much so, in fact, that Mark Tate was invited to become the chair of the Residents Association and has now taken that on. And he's going to be coming and speaking to us in June to tell us a bit more about what's going on. And it's great to see one or two people getting involved in some of the stuff they're doing. And a new trust is going to be set up to oversee their work. And both Jane Maffitt and I will be members of that trust. And we're really excited to see what God is going to do on the Gurnell Grove estate in the months and years ahead. So moving on to children and youth, our fourth priority area. Over the past year, we've seen a steady increase in the number of children, young children under 11, coming on a Sunday morning. We regularly at 10:30 have around 40 children, and that's meant that we've had to reorganize our groups to creatively use the limited space we have. And I just want to pay tribute to the leaders, the dedicated leaders who work with them week by week, and to just help our children encounter Jesus in their groups. Shining Stars, our midweek toddler group, has continued to grow. A number of you here help out with that, and you know that. There are regularly over 30 children and their parents here, sometimes more. There's a lot more than that on the books. And it's great to see them engaging often with a Bible story and with song, as well as lots of playtime. So thank you to all who are involved with that. Our children's work is going really well, but as I've said before, our main challenge has been with our youth work. And Jane Maffitt and Mary Ann Auckland have worked really hard to maintain Sunday teaching, a midweek group and other activities. And it's really good to see how many of our youth are involved in other areas of church life with the band, Sound and Vision, Holiday Club and so on. But we know what a hard area this is. Last year, the leadership team met with Sam Donoghue, who is the advisor for children and youth work in the diocese. And he shared with us some of the bigger issues that are going on, which both reassured and challenged us, that actually every church in London seems to be having challenges with their youth, with their young people. And as a result, the diocese and individual churches are having to look at new ways to address the challenge, to keep young people, to keep them interested, to help them to grow, and so on. And our response to that has been, the PCC have been thinking about this for many years, but the resources became available, and we've decided to appoint a youth and older children's minister. I'm going to say more about that later and why we've done that, but it is out to advert at the moment, and so we are praying that the right person applies. We only need one, and we're just praying that they apply. So please do join us in that prayer. We've done a few other things this year. We've ran Easter Experience again. This year we reached some other schools who came into church. Drayton Green came here for the first time. If you saw any of the installations around the building during a couple of weeks before Easter, you'll have seen the creative work that went on. And it's just a great opportunity to share something of the Easter story with children who often have no faith or are children of other faiths. Earlier this year, we also welcomed a GCSE RE group from, or two groups from Notting Hill into church, and that's been great. The Saturday morning brunch or polos for families, young families, has continued, and that's been good to see. And finally, as we planned, we ran a parenting course for families with younger children this year, and it was good to see some people from outside the church come. So those are our four priority areas. Just a few things about other support issues looking back. It was great, as Sanjay's outlined, to see that we managed through the year. Our budget was balanced. I'm always encouraged by your generosity in this place, just to look at this graph, how planned giving has shifted. That's our commitments together has shifted over the years. Back in 2008, it was under 60,000 a year. This year, we anticipate it'll be well over £140,000 of giving. That's a big increase and a lot of giving, and we are very grateful to you all. We've restructured our staff, and that's enabled our building to be kept cleaner and also to appoint a permanent communications manager. If you remember last year, Amanda had come back for a temporary period, but Morgan's now in post. And since her arrival, we've done so much to improve our internal systems and communications, to continue to develop external publicity and the website. And we're really grateful, Morgan, for all that you have brought to that role. We've achieved our Bronze Eco Award, and we're really thrilled at that, and we aim to go for more during this year as we steadily move forward and change the way that we operate. You are sitting on new chairs, and I think many people are chuffed a bit about that. There have been so many positive comments that the bad backs are now better supported, and we've got some decent chairs. And I'm particularly grateful to Rosemary, who really drove this project and got us so many chairs to look at that we almost didn't know what we were doing, but I think we made the right choice. So thank you, Rosemary. And as Jeff's already mentioned, last year we had an inspection of the building. It's done every 5 years by the diocese. An architect comes and looks at what's going on, makes some recommendations, and as a result of that, we've already done a lot of the work that was identified in terms of the roof, gutters, and so on. And there will be more to do when we do that area out there, but more about that in the moment. So, Jeff, thank you for leading us through all of that stuff. So, that's a bit of reflection. What about the future? This is the second year of our Mission Action Plan that runs from 2016 to 2020. And in all that we're doing, as Andrew said right at the beginning, we're seeking to put our vision statement into action. What we want to be doing is worshipping Jesus, growing together, and reaching others. And everything that we do going forward really fits around those three things and into those priority areas. So first of all, what about our 150th year? A year of celebrations, a year where we're marking what we're doing, challenges, legacy planning, and so on. We've already had some special events and some big name speakers coming up. We've got three former vicars coming to preach, starting with my immediate predecessor, Jan Clark, is coming in May. Then Ron Swan, who perhaps just a few people will remember now in September, and David Runcorn, a few more of you will remember, is coming in November. On the main celebration Sunday, the 11th of June, David Ison, who's the Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral, is going to be joining us and speaking at both services. And then later that month, our former curate, Steve Morris, is going to be coming and speaking. And also on the 11th of June, we're going to be, as well as our services, we're going to be having a hog roast at lunchtime. We're going to be having a Victorian-themed afternoon and some sort of worship to finish with. So it's going to be a day of celebration, so do make sure that you come. And then on the 2nd of July, of course, our community fete. We didn't do it last year, but we're coming back to it this year. So that's 150th year. What of discipleship? Well, we're going to run Alpha again in the autumn. We are looking at other material that we can use for other courses, both as a church and in connect groups. We are going to the Holy Land in November. We've got 25 people from this church booked to go, and half a dozen others are coming with us. And I just want to say, if you're still thinking about going, it's not too late. We're not going till November. There's still a few places left, and that is going to be good. The Bible Challenge continues for the year. And if you're thinking, oh, I wish I'd started reading the Bible in a year, it's not too late to start. There's all sorts of different models. Some of us are using the app. Some people are using cover to cover. Some people are doing other things. It's never too late. You can start on any day of the year. So why not join in, become one of the 50 plus who are doing that? We're looking for more connect groups, always looking to increase the ways that people can engage with God and with others. And we're conscious that our men's and women's groups have both struggled in terms of leadership and vision, and we're looking to see how we can move those forward again. So what of worship? Well, it's great having Ash in post developing our contemporary worship and James continuing developing more traditional things. But in both areas, we need to increase the base of musicians that we have. This summer, in the next few weeks, Andrew will be leaving us. Holly Harrigan will be going to university, which will leave two gaps in our worship teams. James is the only accompanist for our more traditional services. And so, like this morning, we have to buy in someone on those times when he isn't here. So we just need to be praying and seeking and developing both of those areas so that we don't struggle as we go forward. And we also want to continue to develop the distinctiveness of our different services so that we can give of our best with both our traditional and contemporary worship. Last year, you remember the archbishops initiated a week of prayer, a week or so of prayer called Thy Kingdom Come. This meeting, I think I showed a little video last year, the Archbishop of Canterbury speaking. This year it's become bigger, it's become ecumenical, and all the main denominations are engaging with this, to use the time from Ascension Day to Pentecost as a time of prayer for the Holy Spirit to come to lead people to faith. And there's going to be a number of things that we can engage with here. We are going to be having on I think it's the Saturday before Pentecost, some prayer stations in the building that people can engage with. On the first Saturday, the 27th of May, a local church, St. Peter's, is going to be holding a labyrinth. And in the late afternoon that day, there's going to be a local ecumenical event at Haven Green Baptist Church at 5:30 till 6:30. So it doesn't interfere with the evening, and it means people can bring children and so on for us to pray together. And then on the Saturday, the 3rd of June, there is a big London Beacon event in St. Paul's Cathedral. And all of those will be things that we encourage people to get involved with as we pray together for Thy Kingdom to come. In terms of outreach, we're conscious that we do quite a lot of stuff in terms of outreach, some of it more consciously evangelistic than others, but we want to build that thread of evangelism, that thread of speaking about Jesus through all that we do. So for example, at the Community Fete, we want to put on a good show, but most of all we want people to encounter God in some way. And we probably all need a bit of help to think how we can do that in the course of a busy afternoon. But it's not just then, it's at other times. How do we share our faith in a very natural and a very ordinary way? We're going to be having the 150th history exhibition here in the building. And we want to use that not just as a factual event, but as an evangelistic event. Every opportunity is an opportunity to speak about the risen Lord. We want to continue to support the Grove. One of the things we're doing is to try and appoint an intern who will work across the Grove and here. And we are kind of advertising that and just praying that we do get somebody this year. We left it a bit late last year to get someone, so we're starting earlier. And we are planning to have another holiday club. I say planning, there is a slight reservation because we're not sure about building work, and I'll talk about building work in a moment, but we are planning it at the moment, and hopefully the end of August we'll be running a holiday club for children. And then children and youth. As I've said, youth continues to be an area that we're struggling with. We want to build on all the good stuff with our children's work, but we do want to find ways forward in terms of youth. One of the things we've identified is that we have a relatively small number of older youth at the moment, some of whom are going off to university. We have some in younger ages, but actually a larger number of rising youth, if you like, 9 to 11s. And part of our strategy is we want to appoint a youth and older children's minister who will work with that age group to see them through into their youth years, to help them to encounter faith, to make a commitment to Jesus and to grow then through those youth years. So we're asking quite a lot of someone, but we trust that the Lord will lead us to the right person. These are crucial years and we want to get it right. We want to support those people. We want to help young people. We want them to discover faith for themselves too. And then a few support issues. We've got a great team here who make so much happen. And I'm very aware, perhaps more than anyone here, that we're about to lose Andrew as he moves on to lead his own church. We knew it was going to happen. We knew it was imminent. And I'm not going to say any more about Andrew now because I'm saving that for a couple of weeks' time. But I do just want to say that we're going to miss you. Going to miss you hugely. He's not going far, but far enough to mean that he's not going to be doing stuff here, unfortunately. And it also means that we're not going to have a curate next year. There just simply aren't enough curates to go round, and it will be the first time in 7 years that we've not had a second full-time ordained person on the staff. And so I just want to acknowledge with you that that is going to impact us all. It means that I cannot do all that two of us were doing and continue as area dean. And therefore, we've got to think carefully about how we do things. We've got to continue to raise up others to help. And I'm really grateful for my colleagues on the leadership team for all that they do, both up front and behind the scenes. But it also might mean that there's some things we just have to say we can't do that at the moment until another member of staff comes along. So, for many years at this meeting, I've talked about toilets. And I think I said last year that I wasn't going to leave until these toilets were done. Well, the good news is, as Jeff has indicated, that things have moved ahead. And particularly grateful to Dinos, who has led so much of the work over the year, over many years. And he has drawn up many, many plans. We had big visions, and the big visions have come back to very small ones, but Dinos has faithfully drawn up those plans and helped us along the way. The good news is that we are very close. We now have planning permission for what we want to do. We have a clear design that the PCC want to put in place. And we anticipate that building work will be able to start this summer. So what is it we're planning to do? I don't know if you can see that very well. This is the church area, and that's the back door. The plan is that we are going to remove all the existing toilets, and we will create 7 unisex or gender-neutral toilets, which will provide the maximum flexibility in the building. There are often times when there are more people of one gender than the other in the building. So, for example, in the week, there's huge numbers of women and girls who come into our building who are limited in the toilets they can use. When we run the night shelter, there's generally more men than women, and so on. So this will provide a maximum flexibility, a disabled toilet, our mother and baby toilet and wash basins outside. And then we will create a meeting room there. Let me show you what it might look like. So this is these are the church doors. It's the door from the small hall. So there will be a row of toilets there and the wash basins there. And then the room at the end may look something like that. A new window, lower level cupboards, some of the other cupboards removed, new lighting, light wells, what are they called? Tunnels. Sun pipes. To let natural light through into the spaces there. So we are hopeful that this summer work will happen. We are in the process of inviting tenders. And we anticipate that if everything goes to plan, we will start work in July, and that 3 months' work or so will see this done. During that time, the area at the back will be out of use. It will be boarded up. We won't be able to use it. There will be some temporary toilets outside in the car park, so you just need to be warned of that. And we're really excited about this. But even though we have gradually reduced our vision from a project that was going to cost a couple of million pounds to knock down the whole building and rebuild it on several tiers and so on, into something that is going to cost less, we hope, than a couple of £100,000, we still have a shortfall of funding. We estimate that this work will be about £180,000. Obviously, we won't know exactly until the tenders come through. And we think at the moment we've got something like £75,000 in place in various pots. So how are we going to plug the gap? Well, one of the things we're going to do is to seek a loan from the diocese, but obviously loans have to be paid back, and so it's got to be something that is manageable. The good news is that we have the money for this. The bad news for all of us is it's not in the church account, it's in our bank accounts. And so we're going to be, over the coming months, asking us all to respond to this through one-off gifts, through pledged giving, increases in giving, over what you're giving at the moment, specifically to the project, to interest-free loans. Many of us have little bits of money in the bank that is earning 0.5% or something, and maybe people would like to loan that to the church interest-free for a few years so that it can pay off this and we can pay you back. In-house fundraising, things like auctions of talents and so on. We are so close to making this happen, and I really would love it that at the next annual meeting I'm not here talking about toilets, but actually we're using them instead. And I hope you share that vision too, to make this a reality. It's been a good year, but there's much more to do. And I am particularly grateful to the leadership team who support me faithfully week by week in all that we do. And I just want to acknowledge Andrew and Caroline, Enid, Ash, Jane, Rosemary, and Jeff. Our meetings sometimes are lively, sometimes challenging, mostly encouraging, but it is great. We have lots of fun together, and we pray and we worship and we seek the Lord in all that we do. And I just want to thank you for that. But also just to say thank you to everyone else for all that you do, for all that you give, for all that you are in this place. You are all much valued and important part of this community. And as we go forward and as we seek more of God together, your role is really important.